The reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets, and to whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, 'I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, finally, this is the last of St. Luke's woes. And it was cutting enough for the scribes and Pharisees to plan their plot against Jesus. So the Gospel is about some of those plotters and their ancestors who had killed the prophets. I want to turn it around a little and talk about why the prophets are such a threat to the leaders of religious and civil societies. A few weeks ago, I attended an excellent conference at Notre Dame on Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador. There was the good news that Pope Francis had opened the case, his case for beatification. Though most folks in Central and South America already call him San Romero. San Romero de las Americas. A saint and a martyr. And also one of those prophets that Jesus speaks about in this gospel. Romero experienced a powerful conversion from being a good and holy bishop. Yes, concerned about the poor, to becoming truly a prophet, speaking out strongly on behalf of the poor. They called him La Voz de los Sin Voz, the voice of those without a voice. He was converted to realize that it wasn't enough to just think kindly about the poor, but he had to accompany them, putting his reputation and his education and his very life on the line. The authorities, through the military death squads, carried out the deed. They shot him in the head and in the heart while he was celebrating the Eucharist. Jesus in the Gospel refers to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple. Oscar Romero was assassinated while at the altar and in the temple. Can you think about anything worse, anything more sacrilegious? The scriptures say that the only unforgivable sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit, is to attribute evil to the good actions of a good person. And that's what the assassins of Romero did. It was a sin against the Holy Spirit. On the contrary, a significant segment of the Salvadoran church is presently involved in a movement to bring out the holy memory, to remember the courage and the faith of Oscar Romero and so many other martyrs, to call attention to the words and the deeds that inspired so many others to practice their faith in the world of violence and injustice. There were hundreds, perhaps thousands, of prophets and martyrs who were killed precisely because of their embracing and living Catholic social teaching. In those days in El Salvador, there were small Christian communities everywhere, the comunidades eclesiales de base. They met regularly, weekly, to capture the spirit of the community of Jesus and his apostles. that spirit of unity and support that those early communities experienced, giving their personal goods and property so that there be no poverty among Christians. The Comunidades de Base of Romero were part of his conversion process. The people resolutely, passionately applied the gospel to the injustice and oppression they themselves were experiencing. They organized and they took action to bring about change in the structures and in the institutions that were causing the injustice. Some people have held that Romero was a European-educated, wealthy bishop who late in his life responded to some of the poor in order to keep them in the church. The fact is that he came from a very poor background himself, and he never lost the deep and compassionate service of the poor that he'd learned as a child. What he was converted to was the fact that action on behalf of justice is a constitutive element of preaching the gospel. What he discovered was that it was not enough to meet and talk about poverty and injustice, not enough to just pray for the poor, that God would save them eventually. He saw that action was necessary, and he began to support the social actions of those folks from the small Christian communities. Another mistaken idea is that Archbishop Romero became politicized and that he encouraged the violent remedies of a Marxist revolution. The fact was that he never, ever advocated violence in any way. And he was very, very clear about what a purely socio-political analysis might do and what a person must do because of the gospel. Action on behalf of justice is a constitutive part of preaching the gospel. And it is no less clear in issues of our own transforming our world today. What actions might we be called to, my friends? For example, with regard to the environment, with regard to racism, regard to immigration, with regard to our Christian Iraqi sisters and brothers in exile in Kurdistan. Of course we need to study and discuss what our government and what others should do. But likely it's also we who are being invited to act on the principles of the gospel and Catholic social teaching.